a Sunday evening service after so many months. It's been most of a year now that we haven't been able to have a Sunday evening service, so it's a blessing. Let's take our one-on-one books tonight. Let's turn to number 33. My burdens fall away. 33 in the one-on-one book.
Thank you.
It's how I hear. All right. Anyway, some announcements here tonight. We have all the nights filled up for hosting a meal with the Andersons except Wednesday night. So if anybody is available in the late afternoon, early evening, and would like to take them out to dinner or have them over at your home, you can sign up for that. So I think that's it on that kind of the announcements. And then I have one more. They have an interesting situation over in India. Over here in this country, whenever there's a wedding, it's normally the bride's family that pays for the wedding, with help if needed. Well, in India, it's the complete opposite. The groom's family pays for the wedding, and Pastor Reddy's son, Sam, is going to be married, and he needs help in taking care of that. And so we're taking a special love offering to help with that up through next Sunday evening will be the last time that we take that offering. If you would like to contribute to that, take one of the envelopes there in the back, put your gift in it, and make sure you write Ready Wedding. If you just write Ready, we think it's going to just his regular ministry, okay? So if you'd like to contribute to that, put your gift there in one of the envelopes, put it in the regular offering box, and mark on it Ready Wedding, okay? So trust that we can be a blessing to him and to his son during this time. I think that's it. Just to follow up on the list of hosting a meal, that list is on the board over here if anybody wanted to sign up for that. I believe that's it on announcements that I'm aware of. Okay, Brother Dan. stuff like that puts you in the best mood. It really does. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. All right. Number 54. This world is not my home.
Oh, neglected to go over our memory verses, I should say, and we have some folks here that probably don't even know what they are. So it's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We'll go over that one time together. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. All right, let's say it together. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, amen. This is the first time in quite some time that we've had an evening service, and so I asked Jason if he wouldn't mind having a little break, and so I'm going to do the special tonight. And it's a favorite of several of you. It's finished. He gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Alone for you and me.
Amen. Appreciate that song tonight. What a blessing. Thank God for what He did for us. And He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for us. Thank the Lord for that. I want to just share one quick thing. I made a mistake this morning in the message. And again, this is, I'm human, and I wanted to confess that. Of course, we all know that. But I want to just mention just briefly, 1 Timothy chapter 4. I was reminded this morning of the verse 13. I'm very familiar with verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, and so forth. But verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And so, but I do believe, though, that even still, though the Scripture does mention about reading, and of course we said that it is implied that we read the Word of God, I believe more times than talking about reading, it does talk more times than not about studying it, that reading is the first step, and then studying is the next thing we need to do, and not just stop with the reading. So I do want to clarify that this evening, and make sure we set that straight, my mistake there this morning. Philippians chapter 1, if you would, please. And I'm thankful for the book of Philippians and for each of the books of the Bible. But Philippians chapter 1, if you would find your place there, beginning in verse number 1, we'll read verse 1 down through verse number 7. And if you would, we'll stand together as we honor the text of the Scripture this evening for our reading together. Philippians chapter number 1. And we'll go ahead and ask the Lord to bless then His message from His Word tonight to our hearts there in Philippians chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. And as we consider this part of Philippians, we see the prayers that are offered, we see a thanksgiving given, and we see the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we consider the whole book of the of Philippians, we understand some key themes of joy and of the gospel message as well. And the title of the message here is Prayers, Thanksgiving, and Confidence. And God used this passage of Scripture, God used the Apostle Paul to pen this Word of God to the Philippian believers here. And we want to notice several aspects about that in our lives. Before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into His Word tonight. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And then after we pray, we'll be seated. Father, we do thank you for the privilege we have once again to sing songs of praise unto you. We thank you for the songs we've been able to sing and the special that we heard tonight. Lord, what a blessing it is that you paid the price that for us upon the cross. Lord, we thank you that you did that willingly. It was not something that was just done, and there was nothing that could be done, but Lord, that you did that for us willingly. You humbled yourself. You became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray and thank you for the fact that you teach us and instruct us from your word. And I pray that right now that you would teach us and instruct us the things that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you'd take me out of the way, that your Holy Spirit would do the work in hearts and lives. I pray that you would do a work in my life and in my heart, Lord, even as we look into your word tonight. Lord, help us, we pray. We need your power and your enablement tonight. We ask that you'd just draw us closer to you. Use us in these days in which we live to be faithful, to follow you, and to serve you in everything that we do in our lives. We'll give you the glory and the praise. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we begin to look at this book of Philippians and consider some important aspects concerning the Word of God to the Philippian believers, I want us to notice, first of all, number one, the background of the book of Philippians. As we understand this background of this book, we understand that it was written to the church at Philippi by Paul, of course, the human penman, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of the scripture, he was here in prison at Rome. And we know Philippi was a city in the Roman province of Macedonia. And Paul was called over, remember, as we studied in the book of Acts, into Macedonia through a vision. Remember how a man from Macedonia said to Paul, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And I'm so thankful that God used the Apostle Paul and that he followed the leading of the Spirit of God as the Lord led him to go over into Macedonia. We know that Paul was able to accomplish things for the Lord in this city. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple, who was led to the Lord there in this place, and a demon was cast out of a girl in this city. And when Paul and Silas, remember, they were in prison and at Philippi, and remember them singing praises unto God, and remember them being thankful. Now, how many of you tonight, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you, if you were in a prison tonight, that you would not be really very excited about that? How many of you think that maybe you'd just kind of be a little bit discouraged or a little bit weary and well-doing, as it were, if you were put into prison for preaching the gospel and for doing the right thing and the things of God? I think many times that would be our natural response, would be to have a bad attitude about it or to get all upset about it. But I'm so thankful that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God there in that prison cell there. And remember when the jailers when he was getting ready to kill himself after these prison doors had opened up and the earthquake was sent, that he said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." That's another miracle of God. If there was a prison that every door was opened up today, how many of you believe that these prisoners would be gone as soon as they possibly could be? But it was a very miracle of God that these prisoners stayed in that prison and they were all present. And Paul was able to see the Philippian jailer trust Christ as his Savior and the entire family there believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in Him. And God used Paul greatly in this city of Philippi because he decided to pray and because he decided to be filled with thanksgiving unto God there in this time. And as we consider just this background, we consider some of the things that God did here in the city of Philippi. But I want us to consider, secondly, the greeting in verses 1 and 2. Notice the Bible says, "Paul and Timotheus." Paul and Timotheus. And as we consider here, Paul joined himself together with this younger man, Timothy. And I think about how important it is that we work together as a team, that everyone works together as a team for the glory of God. And notice it's Paul and Timotheus. I remember Pastor Chappell shared all the time, he would say, teamwork makes the dream work. In other words, that as we are faithful to work together for the cause of Christ around the right doctrine and for the right purpose, that God is going to bless when we work together. So Paul and Timotheus. And as we'll see later in Philippians chapter 1, the Bible tells us about striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 27 says that only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And think about that today. What a wonderful blessing that is, to be able to strive together, to be able to have that teamwork in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for the fact that though as a younger individual that I am, I used to think that this age that I am today was old, and I know now that it's not. But the truth of the matter is, I'm so thankful that I can learn from those that are older and that are wiser, that have studied the scriptures longer, that know more than I do. And Paul was willing to join himself together to teach and to train Timothy here. And I'm so thankful from all that I can learn from those that have been involved in ministry and in the church for years and years and have served God and have studied the Word of God and have focused upon God's Word. And Paul and Timothy, you see these individuals, they were joined together. They were working together here. Notice also, secondly under this first point, or the second point, I should say, the first point was the introduction. But secondly, we see that they were servants of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul and Timothy here did not call themselves the masters of the churches or the well-qualified leaders or the wonderful people here of the church. No, instead they refer to themselves as servants of Jesus Christ. And a servant is one who serves. And a servant does not think highly of himself, but only of his master. He has humility. And if the great God, The great man of God, I should say, the Apostle Paul, was a servant, then we too should not think of ourselves as anything less than servants or anything more than servants. The Bible speaks about servanthood. If you would turn back to Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. How important it is for us to remember that we are just servants of God, our Savior. I'm so thankful that we can be His servants today. Notice the Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 26 and going down through verse 28, how it speaks about how in verse 25 that the Gentiles exercise dominion and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I think of this passage of Scripture. God wants me to be a servant. God wants each one of us to be servants, not coming to be ministered unto, but to minister, just as the Lord Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and as the Scripture says, to give Himself a ransom for many. Turn over to chapter 23 of Matthew, verse 11. Chapter 23, verse 11. Same type of a verse here. The Bible says in Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The Bible says, be not called rabbi, verse 8, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. And in Philippians chapter 2, as we would look further, we understand that Jesus took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man. Remember how he washed the feet of the disciples? Now, as we think about back in the Bible days, I'm sure we're familiar with this, that back in the Bible days, they did not have the sanitation systems that we have today. And I'm sure we're familiar with the fact that sewage and other things were there in the streets and how filthy people's feet would become there in that time. But Jesus was not too high to stoop down and be a servant unto others. And if He wasn't too exalted, then how can I and how can we not be servants for Him? And so we consider, first of all, Paul and Timotheus, that they were joined together, that they were working together. And we recognize we're all working together for the cause of Christ, that we are the servants of Jesus Christ. But notice, we see that this is to the church at Philippi in verse 1. We see, first of all, to the layman. Notice it says to all the servants, or all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. Notice that the layman or the individual church members or people of the church are mentioned before the others of the church, the bishops, the deacons, and so forth. And this is a reminder, I believe, to a person who would be a pastor that they are not to lord over the flock, but to edify, to encourage the flock of God. Yes, to lead the flock of God, but to do it in a biblical and in a proper manner. As 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 24 says, let's turn there just quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And verse 24, the Bible says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. Think about this, helpers of your joy. Let me ask us tonight, are we edifying other people? Are we encouraging other people that they might be more joyful in the Lord, that they might be more joyful in the Lord Jesus Christ and in their Christian lives? I believe that as we do that, we can truly be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we seek to edify others and build them up around the Lord and around the things of God. So notice it says first to the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. And then it reminds us then of the bishops and deacons. And I'm so thankful for the fact that as a pastor or those that would be deacons, that they are to be servant leaders there in a church to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve the church. As 2 Corinthians 4, 5 reminds us, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And here it's written to all the saints. God is not a respecter of persons. It's here to all the individuals here, not just some of the saints in Christ Jesus, not just the ones that are the most the closest to the Lord or that sort of thing, but it's written here to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. But then we see also to the leadership here as well, to the bishops here and deacons, the pastors, as it were, and deacons here in this passage of Scripture. And we consider this greeting here. We see grace and peace in verse number 2. The Bible says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look back to the book of Numbers, chapter number 6. Numbers chapter 6, beginning in verse 23, as we consider this grace and peace. And so we consider that this is Paul and Timothy together, that they're servants of God, that it's written to the saints in Christ Jesus. It's written also to the leaders, as it were, the bishops, the deacons here. But grace and peace is mentioned here, and we remind ourselves back to the Old Testament blessing here in Numbers. We see this is the New Testament benediction in Philippians chapter 1. So Numbers chapter 6, if you would please, let's look beginning in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Here in the Old Testament, we see the blessing that is given. But here we see the giving this grace and peace here in verse number 2 of the book of Philippians. Now, notice that there is grace given before peace is mentioned. I believe the order is important here in this verse, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace. Now, without the grace of God, we understand we can never experience the peace of God. If it weren't for God giving us His grace, His unmerited favor, we would never have the peace of God or peace with God. And I'm sure you've heard this phrase. I saw it one time on a church sign. It said, "No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace." Now, I might have to spell it for you to help you to understand that. All right? K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W peace. N-O Jesus, N-O peace. So if you know Jesus, then you truly know peace. But if you do not have Jesus, you cannot truly have peace. And so I believe it's significant that the grace is listed before the peace is given. So grace be unto you and peace. Notice from God the Father. And we know that there is no grace and peace except from God the Father. As James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is not going to change, but He is the one that gives us every good and perfect gift that we have today. So this gift is from God the Father. This gift of grace, this gift of peace is from also the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. We know that we cannot receive the grace and peace from God the Father without receiving it through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we looked at already, I believe, in 1 Timothy 2:5, which says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." We cannot go to God the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way that we are able to go to the Father. And He distributes that grace and peace to us. He is our mediator. And so as we consider, first of all, the introduction, the background of this book, we consider the greeting. It's Paul and Timothy here, the servants of God. Grace and peace is given from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at number 3 tonight, the prayers of Paul in verses 3 and 4. Notice the prayers. So we saw, first of all, we already have looked at the background and the opening. Now let's look at the prayers of Paul, verse 3. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Now, let me ask you this question. Is that your testimony? When people think of you, as the first thing they think is, I thank God for that good brother or that sister over there in Christ. I'm so thankful for them. Every time I think of them, it just causes me to just thank God for them. Is that our testimony? I hope and pray that it is, and I believe that it is in each heart and life. But let me encourage you, even if you say, well, I don't normally think that way, let me encourage you to think that way and to thank God for each individual upon every remembrance that you have of them. When you think of somebody, take a moment and pray for them. Take a moment and bring them before the Lord God and thank God for them. And the Bible clearly reminds us, in everything give thanks. Paul here has a thankful heart, and I believe we too should have a thankful heart for all the blessings that God gives to us. We should be thankful for the good fundamental Bible-believing churches that are in America and around the world today. We need to encourage other local churches and have that proper fellowship and unity for those that are truly doing the right things. We don't need to be unified with those that are doing wrong, but we need to be unified with those that are doing that which is right. Think about the fact that when people said that Jesus casted out devils by the power of the devil, let's look back at that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 25 and 26. The Bible says this, and Jesus knew their thoughts. So they were saying that Jesus did not cast out devils, but by Satan himself, or here Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Jesus says unto them, verse 25, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself cannot stand, or shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Think about that verse today. I believe what the devil will try to do. Now, I don't believe that God wants us to be unified with those that are teaching those things that are contrary to the scriptures, that are heresy and those sorts of things. But I believe that God does want us to be unified with others of like faith, because that unity is strength. And God will bless that unity in the right way. I believe that the devil will try to get in into a congregation or into even groups of believers and cause division between them, even from something that's not necessary to be division there, just because he understands the power of the unity. Because if there is division, then there is not going to be productiveness for the glory of God. Because if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? How can God bless if we are divided one against another in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we consider this aspect, that he is giving thanks unto God upon every remembrance of us. Notice, he says in verse 3, and how important it is to thank God for others. When God brings someone to mind that is a believer in Christ, we need to thank God for them and praise God for them and just rejoice in God's goodness in hearts and lives. Now, we need to be faithful to pray for others. But we see also Paul prays for the people with joy. Notice he says in verse 4, always and every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. We see that joy is a key theme in the book of Philippians. If you'll study over the book, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And as we have joy and as we pray joyfully and with thanksgiving, God will bless in a mighty way. And so we see his thanksgiving. We see his prayers that are offered. And I believe we need to pause and just for a moment this week and just think of some Christians that you know, some good believers in Christ that you know. And maybe you don't see eye to eye on everything, but you know they're a believer. You know they have the right heart to do what's right and please God. Let me encourage you to pause and thank God for them and ask God to help you to reach out and to just be an encouragement, to share a word of encouragement to them. Maybe to say, hey, dear brother, I've been praying for you this week. God brought you to my mind and I just wanted to send you just a greeting and thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus and for your desire to serve God and encourage somebody. Notice the Bible says, for your confidence in the gospel from the first day until now. He is thanking God for the fellowship that he has with them. He's thanking God for that unified fellowship that he has with these Philippian believers. And let's thank God for the unified fellowship that we have here today, there with the Word of God, here in the house of God. He's thanking God from the very first day that he knew them until now. He's thankful for these individuals and their fellowship. But I want us to consider now the confidence that Paul has in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, we see Paul's confidence in Christ. This is the last section we'll look at here in verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul had great confidence in Christ. Let me ask you, how is your confidence in Christ today? He did not have confidence in the flesh. He did not have confidence in himself, but in Christ. We know Christ has never failed us or forsaken us. We too can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have confidence in him that he'll keep his word. You see, I'll fail. I'll make mistakes, even as I did there with what the statement made this morning and tried to correct that. But we understand we'll have a human error. We'll make a mistake and so forth. And we sometimes will falter. We think about even the Apostle Paul with that thorn in the flesh. And I thank God sometimes God has given me certain limitations and so forth that I can trust in God and that the glory can go to him if God does anything good, because it's certainly not me that can do anything. It's only the Lord that can accomplish. If anything happens that's good, it's because God did the work. And he's the one that begins the good work, and he's the one that's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And we can keep the fact that God is going to keep his word. He's going to accomplish his purpose. He's going to do that which he said he would do. He's going to accomplish that work until this day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 reminds us that, and you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. I'm so thankful for the fact that these verses are true. And as the scripture reminds us, God is not a man that he should lie. God is not going to go back on his word. God, who has begun this good work here that he has begun, the Bible says in verse 6, he will perform that good work until the day of Jesus Christ. He will accomplish a great work in our lives and our hearts. I'm so thankful that he is the great Savior. He is not only the one that saves us, but he keeps us saved. He's not only the one that saves us, but he helps us as we are sanctified in that process where we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are doing what God would have us do. He performs that good work in us. Notice we see also that Paul loved and cared for the people of this church in verse 7. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Paul was concerned here for the well-being of this church, this body of believers here in Philippi. And we too should care for other Christians. We too should have other Christians in our hearts, and we should be praying for them and thinking of them and bringing them up before the Lord and building them up and encouraging them in the things of the Lord. How important that is, because the Bible says here that we are partakers of the grace of God. I'm so thankful that we're partakers of that grace that Christ has offered to us. And so as we consider this background of the book, we consider that Paul wrote this book in difficult circumstances, that he had that thorn in the flesh as well. He faced difficulties, he faced challenges, just as we will face today. But I'm so thankful for the fact that God used him to accomplish great things in the city here at Philippi. And as he writes this passage of scripture there, he's thanking God for the remembrance of them. He's thanking God for the fellowship that they had. He's thanking God for the fact that because God had began a good work in their lives, that he would continue to do that great work in their hearts and lives. And Paul and Timothy here were servants. I want to pause and consider that again. They were serving God. They were honoring God. They didn't have their own agenda, but they had the agenda of the Lord that God had for them. We saw the prayers of Paul for the church and the confidence that Paul had in Christ. And as we draw close to Christ through prayers and through thanksgiving and through rejoicing in Him, we too can remember that great confidence that we have in Him, resting in Him, being joyful in Him, knowing that He has a purpose and He has a plan in our lives, and He has a desire that we would be unified with other believers in Christ and joyful in our work for the Lord, with that great desire to honor and please Him in everything we think, everything we say, and everything we do. Are you seeking God's help to do His will and His work today? Let's ask God tonight that He would help us to be confident in Christ because of what He's done. That He would help us to thank God for other believers. That He would help us to take a moment and pray for them. And then after we've maybe taken a moment and pray for them, that we'd go and tell them, "Hey, I was praying for you this week. I was thinking about you with that prayer request that you had. I thought of you at that time. I was praying for you. I want you to know that. And I want you to know I appreciate our fellowship together in the Lord." That we can be brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can be an encouragement one to another, and we can have others in our heart and pray for them and be concerned for them. I think we need to just take a moment, even as we have a word of prayer tonight, and just think of somebody that has a need. Think of somebody in your life that you know, or somebody here in this church that you know that has some needs. We think of the one mentioned this morning. For Brother Bush, I believe, and his wife, let's pray for them and lift them up before the Lord during this time. But let's also just think of others that we know of, family members, others, maybe even those that may not be saved, that need to be saved, and pray for them, that God would enable us to be able to have that same fellowship in the gospel, that first day would be their day of salvation, and then we'd be able to later on thank God for that fellowship of the gospel, as Paul here is writing in verse number 5. Let's ask God to help us this week, that we look for people that we can not only reach out to with the gospel, but then we look out for those that are believers, whether here a part of this church or even others that we know, wherever we live or work and so forth, that may be believers, that we can encourage them in the Lord as well this week. Let's ask God tonight in this as we pray. Father, we do thank You for this privilege we've had to look into Your Word tonight in these first 7 verses here of the book of Philippians, chapter 1. We just ask You that You would help us to truly take the time to thank You for Your goodness in our lives. Help us to truly thank You for the fellowship that we have with other believers and that unity that we have with others that are truly seeking to serve You and honor and glorify You with their lives. And we pray that You'd help us to pray for them. Lord, I pray for Brother Bush tonight and his family. Lord, I pray that You'd just work and for his wife and spiritual needs there. And also, Lord, for just the health and all that's going on. We ask You would just be with them and strengthen and help them in this time. We pray for others here in the church tonight and others that may not be here, that You'd comfort and strengthen and encourage them in the times of challenge, in the times of pain, in the times of difficulty, in whatever case and whatever situation that it might be, that we would offer up these people before You with thanksgiving, with the confidence that You're working in their hearts and lives, and if they're believers, that You're going to accomplish a work in them until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can have them in our hearts, we can have them even if we're not there in presence with them, that we can be praying for them, and we can be remembering them just as the Apostle Paul did there in his time in prison and bonds, that he would just remember them and pray for them. Help us as well to just take a moment and just let somebody know this week that we're encouraging them, that we're wanting to pray for them, that we're spending time bringing them before the Lord, and that we're thankful to God for them. And help us to just be an encouragement, Lord, this week and our lives to others that we would come in contact with. Pray You'd bless now as we would prepare to sing maybe a song, Lord, that You would just speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's somebody that You'd have us even to come and just take a moment and kneel and just pray before You that You would work in their lives, that either for salvation or, Lord, maybe somebody that we'd like to just pray, Lord, for their growth and just to thank You for them. Lord, help us just to pause even in this moment and just thank You for them. Thank You, Lord, for what You can do. We ask You that You'd help us. We ask You that You would just draw us nearer to You. We'll give You the praise and the glory. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Let's take our 101 books and we will sing the very last song, number 101. Living for Jesus. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
tonight at 7 o'clock, Brother Dan will be here teaching and preaching, so I hope you will come and join us for that service Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Have a good night.